Welcome to Unpushing the Territory Season 2, Clubhouse Games. The Gator Golf set's been put away, and it's now time to determine who should be the rightful being the elite champion with a set of games or sporting competition. It's the final episode of Season 2. It's John Silver versus Sammy Guevara kicking field goals. So how are you this week, Dan?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad. I'm nervous, but it's not like the type of electric nerves that accompanied the John Silver and Alex Reynolds match. This is just a deep hope and longing that John Silver holds on to what is rightfully his, the being the elite championship. I couldn't bear it if he loses it to Sammy Guevara in the season finale.
Well, if ever a man looked right with a belt, it's John Silver and the BTE Championship.
He's resplendent. I'm busting out the big words.
Yeah, beautiful belt and a beautiful man.
Exactly. Just an absolute majestic beard.
It is indeed. So, Dan, we've walked the hallowed Wembley turf for this final episode of the season. We've got our suits on. And we're going to go to the executive suite in the 19th hole and have a drink before the final.
It's needed.
What are you drinking, Dan?
Well, to settle my nerves, I've moved away from the Poulter's Porter that I've had for the sort of second half of this series. And I've gone for something a little stronger. I've gone back to Beer 52. And I have got Brouwer's Stu Mostov's Chocolate Stout at 5.7%. It's one of the 330ml cans, as I say, from Beer 52. I'm not exactly sure. Oh, it's from Rockline, Poland. So I'm just going to have my first sip. Oh, that is very nice.
Oh, very good.
Very chocolatey, as you'd expect from a chocolate stout, but not overly sweet and cloying like you get with a lot of them. That is very pleasant. Oh, that's a rare big hit from Beer 52. What do you want?
Well, I actually got all of these duration beers from Beer 52 because I'm insane, given that I had three of them ripped through the cans and coat the kitchen in 2022. But I am on a Duration Breweries another day. So I've got through all of the ones that they sent me. And it's a kick in the teeth, this beer. And the reason it's a kick in the teeth is, A, I had this beer before in June 23. B, it was a subpar replacement for the Turtles All the Way Down beer that I ordered from Beer 52 from Duration Brewery that they still haven't sent me. And C, therefore, that an adequate replacement for the Turtles All the Way Down beer was another can of Another Day Done.
Oh dear. That's just not cricket.
No, and I want my damn Turtles All the Way Down. The world is set on a turtle on top of a turtle.
Nobody's been that eager to get hold of turtles since Shredder.
Exactly, yeah. Well, you know, when someone says you can't have something, you want it more, don't you?
Yeah, this is true, but you'll get there one day, buddy, and on the bright side, if Sammy Guevara does win, at least you've not wasted a great beer on such a terrible occasion.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I've given it 3.5 out of 5 on Untappd.
All right, that's not too bad then.
Yeah, Beth's had this one previously. She gave it 2.75.
Which means it's about a 5.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a good rating for her. So, yeah, but it's not the beer I wanted. I want that damn turtle beer to complete my duration set, but never mind. Not to be.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Rob had to paint your kitchen.
Hard shell.
I just wanted to make the joke about you having to paint your kitchen.
Oh, no. But everyone thinks it's Heroes in a Half Shell, but it's the whole turtle shell.
Yeah. But away from beer disappointment, anyway, field goals.
Well,
I'm nervous.
Well, this episode of Being the Elite 241 is called The Betrayal is Real. And that's how I feel about Beer 52.
You're going to be going about this, on about this all episode, aren't you?
Well, it's just because I'm drinking it now. This shocking another day is done. But anyway, anyway, last time we spoke, you predicted that your man, John Silver, would win. Now, that was an initial prediction.
Yep.
There's a lot riding on this because the series is finally balanced. You've correctly predicted 5 out of 10. You need this one to achieve your Oracle status.
So this is my my Mike Sanders moment.
Yeah.
With this, I can become above average. But quite frankly, I would rather be below average and wrong than bet against my boy. My boy, my BTE boy, John Silver.
Is this loyalty or is it a hill to die on?
It's a hill to die on. I am anti-Sammy Guevara. I wouldn't even back him if it meant winning.
So we've kind of made a lot of hay out of being able to discuss in a sporting way the competition that's happened during the Gator Golf Tournament and all these games that have led up to this point at the end.
Mm.
This is the most legitimate sporting competition we've had with a field goal challenge.
Yeah.
It's an actual sport, or maybe a subsection of, you know, a very specific subsection of American football.
Athletic endeavour.
It is. Yeah. So what qualities do you think that John Silver has over Sammy Guevara, which has backed up your prediction?
I think he's got the power advantage. I think he's got the leg strength advantage to get the distance on the ball. Sammy has long levers. He, you know, he can generate some power through there. But it's gonna. I think a lot of it's going to boil down to technique. And I don't think either of them have ever spent over much time on a football field. But if I had to guess, I would guess that John Silver had spent more time on there than Sammy. I'm basing that on absolutely nothing other than blind hope and faith. But yeah, it'll boil down to technique. If Sammy can get his technique right and get the power through his longer legs, then maybe that stands him in good stead. But I just see John Silver's strength winning out.
Now, just in terms of having spent much time on a football field, I believe this is happening at the Jacksonville Jaguars training facility.
Mm-hmm.
And during the pandemic, they did film a few episodes of Dark, Elevation, etc. in this facility. They basically put down a floor over the AstroTurf or whatever it is, or it might even be real turf.
I remember those, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So this will be an environment that's familiar to them, if not in the American football sense.
Yeah, there's effectively no home field advantage.
Yes.
And yeah. It may actually boil down as well to who deals with the pressure best, because does John Silver go first and effectively put it in his hands, in that he just has to keep scoring to win? Or would he prefer to be in the chase? That could play a psychological part.
Yeah, it's, logic about penalty shootouts, etc. Yeah, which was the way they're going to go on it.
I mean, in theory, it's easy. You just kick the ball straight. In practice, a bit more difficult.
Yeah, so it sounds like a Johnny Wilkinson approach to...
Oh, God, can you imagine how much money Johnny Wilkinson would have made as an NFL kicker?
I think there was some talk at the time about him potentially trying to do that, but never materialised.
I know more recently Harry Kane has given that a go, and actually, you know, the distance he got on, you know, aiming on some of the field goals, the team that he was sort of practicing with were looking at him and saying, "Actually, do you fancy giving it a pop?" And he was looking, and he looked at it, "Well, maybe after I retire."
Yeah, be interesting. It'd be interesting if someone did that. It really would.
Absolutely would.
Yeah. So we're at episode 241 of Being the Elite. We're 13 minutes and 11 seconds in. So if you're ready.
Yeah, on your mark.
3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, BTE boy. There's my guy.
He looks exhausted. I mean, they must have driven him to somewhere in Jacksonville. Yeah. The sun's come up again. You can see on the outside there's some natural light. He's been up all night. Sammy Guevara looks like his soul's left his body.
Yeah, all three each.
Each.
Okay. John Silver's confident, and I'm confident in him. So Sammy coming up to take his first field goal.
Holy
scuffed it. That was shit.
Nil for one.
Interesting seeing him go first, though.
It is. And there appears to be a couple of, blocker, that have sort of the metal footballer frames. I think they use these for tackling as well, don't they? But it's certainly an obstacle.
Come on, John.
Go to the side. John Silver.
Oh, that was poor as well.
Both.
No height on these whatsoever.
Yeah, I think Nick Jackson's there, the referee in the background. Sammy Guevara.
Oh, he shanks it again.
Straight into...
I tell you what, Sammy is wearing terrible footwear for this.
Yeah, has he got Timberlands on?
Yeah, he's got big clod-hopping Timberlands on. Come on, John.
John Silver.
It's good!
It's good!
Yes.
1-0 to John Silver.
Get in.
Yeah. Sammy is significantly improved because he's got nowhere near on his first two kicks.
Pressure is on.
He's measuring this one up. He's taking this apart, seriously. And maybe he should have.
John Silver with a bit of gamesmanship there, but I feel that's appropriate because Fuego was giving Sammy advice. Showing bias. Oh, it's good as well.
It's good. And now
Silver has to make this kick.
Pressure on John Silver. If this was on the Xbox, the controller would be shaking now as he take this
hand. Oh, shut up, Sammy, you dick. He should have laces out, Fuego. He's holding it the wrong way. Fuego's holding the ball the wrong way.
Oh, and John Silver misses.
That I'm calling bullshit. He should have been laces out. He was holding it the right way. I apologise. I was having flashbacks to Ace Ventura.
Well, it's 1-1, so I believe we're in
a sudden death.
There we go. Yeah, Sammy Guevara and Fuego del Sol. I mean,
I'm not liking this blatant bias.
Yeah, that Sammy Guevara, that Fuego del Sol's his second. Sammy hits it just.
Hit the bar.
And he does a backflip. He's incredibly happy with himself. He thinks he's won, but.
Surely John's got to have a. What's going on?
He's confused. He's running around. He's got the bell.
No. He went first. He forgot he went first. Dickhead.
He forgot first. Well, I mean, they always touch the bell before you win it. John Silver lines up. Oh, he's missed. And.
Fuck this.
The champion has lost. The boyhood dream has come true. Sammy Guevara is the being the elite champion. John Silver gets on the floor. Sammy Guevara says they're going to cut it in half and share the belt.
I'm not having that. That is bullshit. There was such blatant bias for
collision
from Fuego.
John Silver's upset, but I think he really just wants to get to bed.
It's a miscarriage of justice. That is an ill-gotten title.
And Sammy Guevara's having the title.
I'm not watching it.
And it feels like a natural break because it feels like all these episodes were filmed in the same night.
Fucking horseshit.
Oh, the 11-week / one-night reign of John Silver is over.
I thought rub it in.
Well,
I don't know if he lost, but he lost to that dick.
Weeks in television.
We lost to that dick.
Well, it had to happen eventually. And
but it didn't.
Well, you said it had to happen eventually when we were...
I was saying that assuming John would win.
Just not to Sammy, anyone but Sammy.
I'd prefer Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
And anybody who knows me, or seen, that's supposed to be at wrestling, knows how much I hate that fucker.
Yeah. So there you go.
But I have no reason to hate Jeff Jarrett, really. But I have many reasons to dislike Sammy Guevara.
Unfortunately, sporting competition has won it for Sammy Guevara.
We're going to have to take a while before we do a season three. I'm not ready to see John's belt around that asshole's waist.
Well, that is fine because we are heading back to the 1970s for on second Dattatore, the road to Wembley, 1981.
So, when wrestling was real.
When wrestling was real. And we're going to be back in the 70s and refresh your palate before
back
we
in, the possibility. Back in my happy place.
Exactly.
Oh, God. This hurts. I set myself up for a fall. I was too confident, but I couldn't go against John Silver. It's been a hell of a run. It's been a hell of a season two. And annoyingly, you know, I said last week it's a bit like Game of Thrones. Well, they just killed the king.
Yeah, it's sad. So if you were to give an MVP for season two, unquestionably it would have to be John Silver. But if you were to give a next place, the second best performer from season two, who would you give that to?
Next best performer, that's quite difficult, but it's got to be Chucky T. Surely, you know, getting into the trilogy and holding, you know, really making the drama in that early part of the season.
Yeah, I'd go for Chucky T. You know, he got his big win in the Spicy Challenge. You know, we saw him in the Mustard Packet competition. Yeah, I think Chucky T would take it for me, really.
I'd love to see him back in season three as well.
So this is going to be a divisive one because, you know, who is sort of, you know, the pantomime villain of the season? Is it Guevara or is it Ricky Starks?
Well, it's Ricky Starks for all his cheating. Sammy Guevara I just don't like in general. But it's Ricky Starks, you know, the cheating in the one-chip challenge and messing around in the cup flip. He's the pantomime villain.
He is, although we'd like to give it to Sammy if we possibly could.
If I had any form of logic in terms of what we've seen on screen, yes, I would. But apart from the fact he ended John Silver's reign.
Yeah.
People know where to find me by now. It's DanGriffin21. On Twitter, I just want to actually plug some people instead. They plug us every week on their show, so go and listen to A Work in Progress, AWI Pod. They're not on Twitter, but Glenn Abbott is GA WrestleNut and Nat Mayer of Canton. Everything they do is brilliant. They do the Warrington Attitude, Mayor of Superstars, and I don't know shit, the Life and Times of Sid Vicious, or Psycho Sid, which is the spiritual successor to our very own Unbooking the Tankatory, where they're looking at the life and times of Sid Vicious. Listen to Good Cop, Bad Cop, Matt Lewis, my co-presenter on the volley, and MGB Graham, and Ryan Nishguy, putting out absolutely fantastic content. The Goods and Bads of Wrestling every week, go listen to them. Anything over on SJP World Media that's run by the boss man, Cy Powell, he hates it when I call him that, where I do the Doc 2 pod with him, but they're going through all facets of TV, music, wrestling, the volley that I mentioned before, football commentaries. Go and listen to all that over there. Rob will get into the One Man's Meat podcast, boys. They do fine work. This was a bit impromptu for me, so I am scrabbling. I am scrabbling for stuff. Bang Bang Podcast. Andy and Steve, they're back together. The band's back, and they're doing sterling work. If you want to go listen to a Bristolian, call another Bristolian, see you next Tuesday, every other word, and talk about some wrestling. It's a real good laugh.
Just Martin Fitch. Listen to Steve's beer reviews, because one of the beers that Steve said to buy on the podcast destroyed my kitchen. It's taken six coats of primer three coats of primer, at least three coats of emulsion. I think it might need another coat.
Oh, dearie me. Martin Fitch, those lads, great laugh. Just two mates talking about nothing, but real, just real entertaining stuff. Mark at Project Football, go listen to all his stuff. He's a great lad. And I'm probably forgetting a few, but I just wanted to plug a few of our friends and other podcasters who share our stuff, and I felt it was only right that we do the same on our season finale.
Yeah, and I'd just add, high five, Tom. High five.
Yes.
On the Revelry. They always shout us out every week. It's massively appreciated. Getting some Americans into Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks is an unexpected bonus.
Especially when they're more used to the ring, to the classic Ring of Honor style.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. And although whatever else you say about the contestants we've had on this series of On Putting the Territory, they have shown more charisma than anything Roderick Strong did up until he got a neck brace in AEW.
Very true. Very, very true.
So as you said, there is the One Man's Meat guys, Danny Ascott's Juggalo and the real Chris Bellis. And if you go back in the archives on this podcast feed, you can hear them going through wrestlers that might be forgotten, Don't Get That Much Love, that kind of thing. And their spin-off series where they went through every episode of Wrestle Society Extra and Society Extra. All their stuff is really well researched. It's funny. You should get involved.
You should. And Chris Bellis gives infinitely better beer reviews than we do. He writes a love letter to the beer itself, whereas we just say, yeah, I like it. And they extend that kind of research and love into their Disgusting Awful project as well, looking at horror movies, legitimately going as far as to give information that is missing from Netflix documentaries. So give them a listen. Give them some love. You will not regret it.
No, you won't at all. And some of my beer reviews this back nine of the season have turned into an extra grind against Eurasian Brewery. So...
I can't believe it. This stout that I've been drinking, sorry, I just went to check it in while we were talking. They've sent it to me before. The bastards.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait, that's a nitro version.
Yeah. Well, I've had my recent fallout with Beer 52, so...
Yeah. There'll be another one shortly.
Yeah, but I'll probably be back. I'll probably miss them at some point, so... I might go back to the future. They have done some good stuff just lately. They've failed me. So, talking about a brewery that will never fail you, if you want to drink Tartar's Beers, you can log on to tartarsbeers.co.uk, put in the promo code UTTPodcast15 and get 15% off.
You can indeed. And they are the absolute king of breweries around here. There's never even had anything approaching mediocre, let alone bad from them.
No, they are a really excellent brewery. So in terms of our main show, you can go back in the archives and listen to that before debuts, finales, that kind of thing on Unbooking the Territory. We've mentioned the Big Daddy Giant Haystack series, but we did have another spin-off series on Booking the Tankatory at UTT Tank on Twitter, where we followed the ups and downs of legitimately the hardest man that's ever lived, one David Tank Abbott. And if you go to the Twitter for that, you can get some hashtag tank facts.
Because we're just not running out of them. I don't think it'll ever end.
Such as, there was a meme going around Twitter, name a wrestler, and you'll rate how much of a... And after that, it was a chance to have a beat in The Undertaker. But the real answer is a chance to have a beat in Tank Abbott out of 10.
And it's always zero.
It's always zero. Always zero.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about dream matches in wrestling. Every wrestler has a nightmare about stepping into the ring with Tank Abbott.
Which is ironic, because even in the dream, he knocks it out and then they go into another layer of dream, like what was in that movie Inception. Except it's Tankception.
Exactly. And Eurovision refuses to allow America to submit an entry, as they fear that Tank Abbott will be their representative and get 12 points from every country.
They would. They actually skipped a year. They said it. They said that they just lost the footage, but it's when Tank just turned up and stole the show.
Yeah, they just don't want Eurovision to be hosted from Huntington Beach, California.
Yeah, I think that's probably right as well. I don't think there'd be enough people to fill Tank's palatial estate.
Exactly, exactly. So there we are, end of season two.
And what a sour note it ends on.
Ends on a sour note, but given that there was not a Gator Golf Club in sight, what do you think to the change up of format to the being the Elite Championship?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that they changed it up and it was different tests of skills. also a different test of different skills. You know, we saw everything from strategy to physical to combination of the two. It was very, very interesting. I would like to maybe see a return to the Gate Golf at some point, but if it's more of this in season three, I'll be happy with that.
Well, we'll have to wait and find out what happens in season three, but that could be a long way off because we're off to the 1970s and following Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks on the road to Wembley 1981.
I can't wait to find out how unemployed I am.
Super. More Dan does the job sections. And I have got some absolute corkers on the way to 81 for news articles. I found some hysterical stuff, and I found some real pitfalls for jobs that you can apply for.
I cannot wait for that dubious shit.
Excellent. Oh, I looked it up earlier. One of the many names that the mighty John Quinn wrestled under was Danny Dubious.
Really?
Yeah.
I suppose it's better than Quentin Questionable.
Yeah, so there you go. So, yeah, we'll definitely be seeing a lot more of the mighty John Quinn and his Matt Beard versus food diet that he had.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to be in Leeds tomorrow, actually, for True Grit. I'm going to go to Wendy's and I'm going to get me a Baconator. Can't wait.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. That was one of the only reasons to go to Reading when they haven't come this far north. Since they left in the late 90s.
Fucking excellent.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll be dreaming of Wendy's, but in the meantime, thank you for listening.
Let's play Gator Golf! Grab a club and get putting with Gator Golf! Take a shot and watch him snap it up and pop it out! Keep score with the birdies! Do you have what it takes to get a hole in one? Let's play Gator Golf! From Goliath!